council meeting to order. I have no changes to the agenda. Are there any, councilors? Councilor Fancy?
Yes, I'd like to make a motion at this particular time.
Is it pertaining to the agenda?
Pertaining to the agenda?
Yes.
I so move that we defer item 12.2 on the agenda to this COW meeting scheduled for the 21st of February. I also move that the discussion be in camera, as was requested from the in-camera meeting held on the 10th of January, 2017.
Do I have a seconder for that motion? Councilor Frehley? Are you ready for the vote? All in favor? All opposed? It is carried. So, can I have an approval of the amended agenda? Councilor Frehley? Seconded by Deputy Mayor McLeod. Any discussion? Ready for the vote? All those in favor? Those opposed? Carried unanimously. Presentations that are here, I'm advised that Peter LeBoer, Department of Environment, is unable to attend today under 3.1. I am also advised that 3.2, Cindy Rubenfine on the Farmers Market is unable to present. I would also like to advise that Councillor Johnson is unable to attend today and sends his regrets. Are there any petitions to be filed today? Any petitions? Last call for petitions. Hearing none, we will move on to the public question comment session. Please state your name, your address, and limit your comments to 5 minutes, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, I'm the only public one here today, so that gives me extra time, does it?
Yep, ma'am.
Watch out for that one. You'll be snapping the hammer. No, seriously, just wanted to mention, and it reminded me even more, with respect to EMO and with the major storm that we just endured and what have you. And I noticed, listening to the radio until, and of course, I thank that. Thanks that I had a battery radio so I could keep on with my power went out yesterday on College Street. That was out for five and a half hours, which could have been a lot worse. But when I called the power department, they say estimated restoration time, of course it was estimated, 7 o'clock tonight. 10, I went to bed early, 10 o'clock, lights all come on, power was on. But anyway, my question is, I know I mentioned this before, about comfort stations and so on with respect to EMO. Now, I heard on the radio that Lockport set one up immediately for, it's only a small town, as you know, 600 people, and they had their comfort station, which they were going to keep open in the fire hall until as long as necessary. Also, North Queens Fire Department, they set up one that was going to be as long and as possible, and I also heard that, and I didn't hear this, I understand that Port Bentley set up, opened up their station. And I understand, Mr. Mayor, from when I asked you the question, that Liverpool Fire Department is the compensation, or I think is to be set up for the compensation through EMO here when necessary. And I'm not saying that was necessary last night. My question is, I'm wondering if, and I know that person's been here before, but not recently, as if some meeting you could invite the EMO coordinator to come to the meeting and just explain the whole procedure when there's a disaster, whether it's a large one or a small one or whatever, and what people should do. I think that would be very beneficial to, and the press would be here, and they'd be able to pick up onto it, and the people in Queens County and so on would be informed. Because a lot of people now don't know, well, I mentioned something about, well, you had, well, what's that? I never told that before. The fire hall over there and so on. So if you would, Mr. Mayor, I'd certainly appreciate you giving consideration.
I think that would be a good presentation.
Yeah, I think, and it's been a while since, I mean, I go to all these meetings, as you know, and we have had presentations before, but we haven't had any in recent years, and I think it would be good to have an update and to know just what people should be doing. in the case of a disaster. Also, I think I might have mentioned this before, but the provincial capital budget that came up within the last month or so for capital projects, and it was made very clear in, on the radio that Queens County got nothing in the way of health or highways or anything. And I'm just wondering, we know that our off-roads, I call them, like going down through to Beach Meadows and that area, that road, for example, I haven't driven over recently, but from talking to the people where I have coffee with, it's you're locking the holes like this going down the road. It's in pretty bad shape, and there are other ones as well. And I'm just wondering, Mr. Mayor, if perhaps maybe, or if you didn't get anything there, that maybe yourself, along with your with the CAO, could meet with the Minister of Transportation at some point and see what they might be able to do here for us. I know you had mentioned, I think, when you're on the radio, that next year in 2018, we're going to get the big sum of 5 or 6 kilometers repaved on the 103 from 18 to exit 18 to exit 19. Well, and I know we've got the bypass out in Port Charlie and Port Mattoon, and there were some real problems the way they designed the exits and so on there, but that's beside the point. It's done now, but at least you've got the highway going through. Anyway, Mr. Mayor, it's the old story, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, and perhaps maybe, Mr. Mayor, if you could just, you know, get your oar in there and talk to them a little bit, maybe something may come along.
I've been working very close with our CAO, Richard McClellan, and perhaps our CAO would like to add to your comments.
Yes, through the mayor. Municipal staff were meeting with TIR staff. In fact, we were supposed to meet the last week when the snow day happened to discuss the recapitalization plan for roads in Region of Queens over the next 3-4 years, so that we're into the capital works program. The focus, as you know, for TIR for their capital works in Queens for the last couple of years has been the Port Mattoon project, bypass project, and the bridge, and we definitely have some state of good repair rework projects that need to happen. So we're working with staff, and the mayor is squeaking to the people he needs to squeak to.
It's the thing is, you can't expect them to do them all in 1 year, but if you look ahead, I believe they do a 5-year capital plan or 3-year or 5, whatever. And it would be nice if we're on the radar, whether it's for 17, 18, or 19, or whatever it might be. But if you're on the radar, then you know that something is going to happen.
Yes, you should see a lot of traffic counters out next summer and this spring where they prioritize which one's first, but you're right.
Thank you.
Deputy Mayor Clark.
If I may make a comment, as it be my district, and I've had many discussions with the residents on that road, Eastern Shore Road and so on,
right.
And we've been dealing with the TIR and trying to set up the meetings and having communication with them. They about a year ago, they did do a traffic count, but we were not on their capital list to do anything down in that area. But I think all that data and everything is very important, but I think we really have to put the pressure on. That road's been left go for a long, long time, and it's getting to a point now, if they let it go any further, so it's going to cost even more money to repair it.
Well,
so
it's going to have to be rebuilt even now.
Yeah.
I think when you speak of the car count there and so on, I think they indicated then that the number of traffic there didn't warrant a whole upgrade or something.
That's figures can be
Those poor people need to drive on
as
well.
Yeah.
Mr. Mayor, if we could keep the focus of the conversation in one direction.
Oh, I'm sorry. Just one other thing, just as a piece of information. I see under 13.1, and it says Caledonia Corner, so I read in there what it's about, zoning and so on. But if I could just mention this one thing. Back before I came in with the Youth County, I was a Scotiabank manager, and I was in the early 70s, I was up there as the manager. And on Caledonia Corner, it's quite an interesting place. A lot of activity there with people going around the corner on two wheels and so on. But anyway, Halloween was a great night there on the corner. And the bank, at their year end was October 31st. So back then, everything was done by hand, posted and everything. So we had to work till we called the clock at night and stuff, and my wife and we lived upstairs over the bank. Well, we didn't realize it was the first Halloween there, but every Halloween, the Caledonia Corner got picked on with whatever. So So anyway, first thing, we heard the sirens going, the fire truck's coming, what's going on? I went to the front door and looked out, and next door, Douglas's store in front there, they put a bunch of tires there and lit them afire. And right alongside it was the gas, that was the gas pump there, where you pump gas. Well, thank God they got the fire out, or that corner wouldn't be there, but it would have blown up. Anyway, it's there, so you can rezone it now.
Thank you, Leon.
And that's my speech for today, thank you.
Any other persons wish to speak from the public gallery? Thank you, Leon. We will move on to 6.0, approval of minutes.
I move to defer approval of the minutes of 24th of January 2017 until 28th February 2017. Due to difficulty in getting the minutes round to council for their consideration as a result of a series of inclement weather days.
Seconder to that motion? Councillor Fisk? You ready for the vote? All those in favor? Unanimous? We have nothing under number 7, dangerous or unsightly. Under economic development, we have 8.1, 4-point lighthouse. And I was wondering if perhaps I could ask the Director of Economic Development, Phil Crookshank, to come forward. Councillor Kelly, would you like to take the lead on this?
Sure. It is recommended that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality award request for proposal ED-02-16, seasonal operation of Lighthouse Tourist Attraction, to the highest scoring proponent, Lane's Privateer Inn.
Seconder, Councillor Fancy. Jill, would you like to give us enough?
Sure. We had an arrangement with for Fort Point this last season where Lane's operated the lighthouse, and with that agreement expiring, we put it out again for public tender this year, for this time for a 3-year period, and we had two proposals that came in. I was away when they were assessed, but from what I understand and from the motion that's put forward today, Lane's Privateer Inn gave the very best proposal and had the highest score against all the different criteria. And the request for proposals was very detailed and very precise in the requirements, and you know, we learned lessons from previous experience with having leased it out earlier in the season and incorporated all of that into the new RFP. But you know, we got a very aggressive proposal from Lanes, and very excited by the job they did this summer. We had a number of travel writers who came down, and particularly they were enamored by the lighthouse picnics, and through their resulting publicity, you know, we got thousands of dollars worth of free advertising out of that. And from the proposal Lanes produced, I think they have a lot more exciting plans for the facility, and are certainly willing to work with others in town to make it you know, a really robust offering for our visitors.
Comments or questions of councillors? Deputy Mayor McLeod.
I know that Lane's operated the lighthouse last year, and it usually takes a year or so to get the feel for things and how things work, and kind of tweak it the next time around that they apply. And they had an excellent application, or whatever the name is for the proposal. And also, we should make note that it does save the municipality about $25,000 a year to source it out. So
yes,
that's a really saving, you know, when it comes to that aspect. So application was a good application.
Any other councillor? Councillor Freeland?
I love the presentation, and it really proves that partnerships are really the way of our future. And this is another great one. And I was interested in the evaluation summary, which I thought was really great and a lot of good information. I wonder, is that something new, that, or is that just, we're just seeing it for the first time as other proposals come in?
I think we usually have some form of an evaluation, but this was the first time we've done one quite so detailed, I think.
Very good.
For economic development, anyway.
Thank you.
Councillor Fisk?
I just want to say that I know Susan from way back, and I really think that she's a very capable lady, and also Lane as well, recognized through the province of Nova Scotia and elsewhere, through the states and where have you. But I really, the presentation given today is very professional, and I think that I have no problem with accepting this today. It's very well done.
Councillor Kelly, did you have your hand up?
The one thing I like about it, which is it's been a kind of a, like a problem area, we get stagnant. So the first time we're talking about first time people coming through, we got something new, something different, and it gives us something new to offer, and I think that's fantastic to offer something new to a public and say, oh, okay, well, they got a lighthouse then. Well, not gonna get that. No, it's more than a lighthouse.
Exactly.
So I think that's fantastic.
When I was a kid, around that area, Fort Point was well used by the whole community. You could swim down there. There were swimming lessons. There were lots of parks. The park was used as picnic area. And I think things like this encourage more people to use the area too, from a general public
mm-hmm.
aspect. You know, maybe have their own picnics and utilize the area more too.
Mm-hmm.
Any other councillors? Ready for the vote? All those in favor? It is unanimous. We'll move on to section 9, CAO's office, 9.1, Fire Department Amalgamation. Councillor Fisk, would you like to take the lead?
It is recommended that the Council of Regional Queens, Ms. Cowley, support the amalgamation of Charleston Fire Department and Mill Village Fire Department by ensuring that existing training funding levels continue to Mill Village Fire Department until 2020. Work with the Emergency Management Office to identify a new comfort center for Charleston for community emergency planning. Provide community communication support of the amalgamation through the Region of Queens staff, and clarifying that the Region of Queens municipality is not interested in purchasing the existing Charleston Fire Department building.
Second. Councilor Muse. Discussion. First, before I do that, I should ask our CAO, Richard McClellan, to approve this.
Sure. So this amalgamation has been well covered in the media. This formalizes some of the work that the municipality has done with the two fire departments. Staff have been working to help with communication support on the funding levels. We've met with the fire chiefs. They'll be taking their capital requests to the joint fire chiefs meeting. So there's no changes in funding requested there. What we've suggested is to help with some of the retraining things that they need. There's about $5,000 a year could potentially decrease through the training fund, and we're recommending that we maintain that for a few years to help and with some of their retraining or some of their incidental expenses related to that. And wanted to confirm that we don't have a municipal purpose for purchasing the building to enable them to move forward with aggressively trying to sell that to help them capitalize some of their future equipment.
Any comments or questions of council?
I just want to say that it's a very strong move for Charleston and Mill Village to come together as one unit. It takes the two communities to work together on this to make it happen. And I'm hoping in the future that we can certainly help in this coastal law. And I think that the, as we talked about the emergency center for the community, I think that we can, there's certainly an area there for that also. And I give Charleston the community a great deal of credit for letting this happen and working together with Mill Village. It'll make us stronger, the both communities stronger, and also it'll make the fire department much stronger. So I think it's a, just an excellent move on both parts.
Any other counsel? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor? It is unanimous. I'd like to ask Director of Engineering Brad Roeder to come forward, please. We're dealing with Section 10, Engineering Works, 10.1, pre-budget approval for capital project, School and Main Streets. Deputy Mayor McLeod.
Yes, I would like to recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality give 2017-2018 pre-budget approval for Main and School Street capital upgrades in the amount of $2,115,012.
Second. Councilor Fisk.
I'll say a few words. This will be our primary capital project this year. It involves work on Main Street from Reese to School, and School Street from the pump station just below Main Street to the four-way stop at Waterloo Street. What we'll be doing there is replacing century-old sanitary sewer and water main and replacing a section of force main, installing new storm sewer catch basins, renewing service laterals, renewing the street, curb, gutter, and sidewalk. Due to funding considerations, the work must be complete this year. It's a larger phase than we would typically do in Liverpool. So we'll be doubling up some work crews and working two areas at one time, in as much as possible. There's a lot of work to be done here, so we need to get started as soon as the weather cooperates. We'll start on Main Street. That'll be the section we'll start with. We'll get that going first, and then we'll start an additional crew, most likely on the upper School Street area, and continue through. And this will take us, by the time we get it paved, till the fall, you know, pretty deep into the fall. Yeah, there's a lot of work to do there, a lot of work. Any questions?
Councilor Kelly.
I do, yes. I just wanted some clarification, because this is probably one of the things I don't really know anything about, and I want to understand a little bit how these things work. So just to, you said just to Waterloo Street, so the next part of the project would be from on Waterloo Street from School down to the river? This one goes from School up to Waterloo?
Yeah, there will be, in the five-year capital program, we're starting to phase in some of that work on lower Waterloo, I guess I would call it, from the four-way stop down to the harbor. All that sewage currently is outfalled in the outer harbor. This is part of the strategic work that we're doing now, which will enable that to be pumped back up to the four-way stop and then conveyed down through the work that we'll be doing this year to the pump station and the Goaded Sewer Treatment Plant.
Right, so I guess I still don't understand. This is the, when you finish up to Waterloo Street, that completes that, or is there still another capital project that needs to happen?
The capital projects never really end.
But I mean for that particular piece of
That particular piece, area. The next logical step will be to do work on Waterloo Street area down to the Harbor.
Right, okay.
Okay, and then the other little block of streets, Williams and so on.
Yeah.
Install some pump stations there, new water and sewer mains, and then pump it back up to the four-way stop until it goes gravity, then back down to where we're working there now.
Right, okay.
But we can't do that though until we do what we're going to do this year.
Yeah.
Because that's downhill in this area, right?
Yeah, okay. Can I ask a couple of questions?
Yes, Councilor.
Just to understand. So the part about third-party, there was a third-party engineering consultant that indicated a 40% savings for the work to be undertaken by the Region of Queens. Does that mean that this would have been almost a $4 million project?
That's correct.
Okay, that's excellent.
And we've demonstrated that over the years, working with our own crew. Again, we don't build profit into our jobs. Our equipment, we don't charge equipment to the jobs. That equipment's been bought and paid for long ago. All right, so primarily it's labor, fuel, materials is our cost on these jobs.
it's good to know. Who is this third-party engineering consultant?
This particular one was ABL, Environmental Consultants out of the city, Dartmouth. This particular requirement, it's been a requirement for the last few funding jobs under infrastructure that we demonstrate value for the money where we're doing it with our own crews. And of course, the benefits are more than just straight financial benefits. It does provide local employment, because the fact of the matter is, on these large jobs, and we've seen it when the water treatment plant was built with the building construction, the big building contractors or the sewer and water contractors, the big companies, they'll come in, they already have their men, or they already have their people, and they don't live from this area, right?
Yeah.
So this actually, it has an appreciable benefit to the area, the way we do our work here.
I have a couple more,
yeah,
but you can ask around, yeah.
I'm going to move down the line if I can. Councilor Frelick?
Just a question, Brad, about what the plan and what the street is going to look like during, for one, festivals, for the tourism season. As we just heard, Lanes is taking over the lighthouse. What will that look like, and is there an alternate route to get to Fort Point if Main Street is accessible?
Well, during festivals, we always strive, and we would have that street opened up so you wouldn't detour during those particular times. Now, the detouring of the street, there is a plan that's in place. It's been reviewed, approved, and signed off by the traffic authority. That's been developed in accordance with the traffic control manual, so there's very set ways that you detour, and it depends on what area we're working on, be it Main Street, but primarily it's a detour through Court, through Park, back up to the four-way stop, primarily. Now, it does vary a little bit from that, depending off what section of school we might be working on, right?
And is this, when you go down Main Street from Reeves, is this a complete street open up like it was on, for example, in front of the post office, where you have to date everything up?
Yeah, yeah.
Or is it one side?
No, that street there, that's got a water main needs to be replaced, the sewer main, a force main, it needs a storm sewer put in it, and then the service lateral is renewed. So that's got everything going on in that little section of the street.
And that's from Reeves down to?
So it would be closed off to traffic, although opened up for local traffic. In other words, we would still be able to permit passage through to the museum, to the doctor's office, dentist's office there. And that's why we want to do that particular street first, to try to get out of that area in as much as possible before the dead of summer comes. Now, there'll still be some work there, because you still have the street to renew and the sidewalk and all that kind of stuff to do, right? But it'd be better to do that section first rather than last.
So by the end of June, technically, you could be, may not be paved, but it could be passable and helping out with the tourist season.
Yeah.
Thank you.
In as much as possible. Yeah.
Deputy Mayor McLeod?
Looks like a major project here, and I know it's long overdue, especially getting up to the intersection there at Waterloo and School Street. Brad, I know all that technical stuff you guys deal with, but you made a comment that they're going to be replacing the sidewalks and that sort of thing down Main and then up through to the intersection there,
correct,
the four-way stop. And as you probably are aware, there is one residential property there that juts out into the road. Is there any consideration, that's at the section there where Church Street meets school?
We've got it figured out.
Get it figured out? Oh, good. I knew you would. I just thought I'd ask the question. Because that's always been a, sort of a, an issue.
Yeah.
And he's smiling.
No, we'll get that. I mean, I know that, that's, I mean, you come up to that particular structure and the sidewalk stops, right? Because it's
right
out
through
the
road.
Yeah,
and it's kind of dangerous walking on the road there, so.
But,
yeah.
We've got a plan that we'll execute to solve all
that. Just in case somebody asks, yeah.
Yeah.
And this project is shared 50,
our cost is
25.
Is 25%. It's 50% federal government and 25% province, 25% municipal.
Yeah.
So it's good value
it's good.
For us. We
absolutely.
Get all that for 25 cents on the dollar.
Yeah.
Councilor Fancy?
Fred, are we going to be looking as we tear up the street and then redo it? Are we going to be looking at as how the parking goes through there? If I'm not mistaken, and maybe I could be wrong, but I think you can park on both sides, right? The both sides of the road.
On Main Street, you speak.
Yeah,
the
Main
yeah,
Street.
I think
which is a problem. It's always congested through that.
Yeah, I think we're going to redo that slightly because
okay.
that's it would seem problematic to have to yield to oncoming traffic in an
mm-hmm.
area like that, right?
Yeah.
So we are going to endeavor to fix that.
Okay, good.
Any other councilors? Go back. Councilor Kelly?
Yeah, I just wanted to be understand the financing. So it says here that we're going to borrow?
Next on the agenda item.
Oh, I was going to say that.
Jennifer will be here. She can talk
okay,
about
okay, she'll talk about
yeah.
that. Okay. So that's why I think I was confused, is that this all hasn't been included in, it says here it was in, the financing for this was included in a five-year capital plan? Financial
the work is, the work was laid out in the five-year, but understand this particular funding opportunity came up last summer, in the middle of the summer, so we had to rejig some of our 5 year to take advantage of this because
okay.
it wasn't sequenced quite the way that the project was rolled out. All right. So.
Okay.
So, Councilor Crowley?
Just one comment. I'm part of the group that Happy Wheelers from the Manor. That's one of the routes that we use a lot for taking wheelchairs, and wheelchair accessibility, of course, is an interest of mine or concern. And I know the last sidewalks that we did were really great, and as far as the lip being on them, you could get wheelchairs up them easily. So is that something that we have to look at, or is that something we automatically do now? Keeping
we construct our sidewalks according to recognized standards. So what we do is not unusual, and I would anticipate we would replace it similar to sidewalks that we've done in the last few years.
Okay, great, thank you.
Any other councilors?
After we make the motion, I can just ask Brad another question.
Sure, Deputy Mayor.
After we finish this motion, because it's not to do with this motion.
Okay, so are you ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? Unanimous, thank you very much. And Mary, you had one question?
Brad, while I have you here, I know in the various plans, capital plans that we have, just give me a refresh my memory on the pumping station in the Brooklyn area and when you plan to install that and how that project will proceed.
Our plans, according to the five-year capital plan, was actually we presented this year, but because of this funding opportunity, I anticipate that it'll be before council's consideration for next construction season.
I thought so, but I just wanted to confirm. Thank you.
Thank you, Brad. We'll move on next to number 11, finance. I would ask the Director of Finance, Jennifer, to come forward.
Recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality gives first reading to a bylaw respecting tax exemptions and copy attached.
Second to the motion? Counselor Fisk. Would you like to brief us on this, Jennifer?
So the bylaw for tax exemption comes forward to council each year. There's two readings because it's a bylaw. There's nothing changed in the list this year, except that you'll notice the Milton Canoe Club is exempt on the roll this year. It hadn't been all along, so we've removed it from us having to exempt them, being that PVSC has already commercially exempted them on the roll. There's a small piece of rock land that we've added on here by request for the Moose Harbor Authority. It's supposed to be in the name of the Department of Fisheries, so they're in the process of turning that piece of land over. It's kind of a useless underwater rocky piece of land that, with very little value. But since they're in the process of turning it over to Department of Fisheries, we've added them to our tax exempt list, so that they're not exempt on this, on the roll this year. Otherwise, it's pretty much the same each year. We, like I said, there's a number of charitable nonprofit organizations that council so exempts from property tax.
Councilor Kelly.
Yeah, I just wanted to understand this a little bit better, and I get all this, and that's fine. There's the ones that have numbers, but there's nothing next to them. They've just been deleted, but the number's still there. Or are they non? Why are there's a list that doesn't?
Those are all Maliga Lake Lot Owner Association. The list of assessment numbers that name carries forward.
Right, I see.
And there's quite a few properties.
Yeah.
Currently.
Okay.
Those are not. They're not any of the properties that they currently list for sale. It's not undevelopable land or swampy kind of marshland, but land that would not be saleable or has to be left as a green area in and around the other lots that they previously sold.
So then that holds true then, say Queens Archers Association, there's like
a couple
of things below them as well, okay, different
yeah.
lots. And not that I would, that just because I don't recognize them or know of them, I assume this list is vetted by your department every year to make sure that they're still not-for-profits, they own a property and they're still registered not-for-profit and all of that?
Correct.
Yes. Okay.
And all of these assessment values I have on a separate list as well, because it will be a number and amounts that I have to take into consideration when I do the tax rate calculation.
Yeah.
All of these assessment values, various values, are not available to us when we set the tax rate to balance
yeah.
the budget. So I have looked through each one of them individually to make sure that they are still not exempt on the roll, and then add their assessment values to our tax levy balancing.
Right.
Jennifer, I went through the list, you know, and they're pretty much same year
same
after
one.
Year.
Yeah.
I just had a question, though. Under District 13, the taxation District 13, I don't see anything there for the Liverpool Tennis Club or the tennis court. Are they?
They're not considered nonprofit.
Oh, okay. That was the question. Okay. And also our courthouse. Is that ours?
That property is owned by us, and it's exempt. Anything on our in our name is already exempt on the roll.
Oh, okay. But we had some things listed here, the Hank Snow Museum and the Astro Theater.
Not in our name.
Oh, they're in their name.
Yeah.
Okay, I understand. Thank you.
Councilor Chris?
Just Twin Fields Community Association is not an active organization anymore.
Really?
And also the Buckfield Community Association, I understand, is being all come back to us because it was an old schoolhouse at one point.
That's right. It's still on the roll with
yeah.
with a property tax value and assessment value.
Okay.
So until it's removed or exempted on the roll,
so when it comes
we'll keep it on the list. But each year we look at them, like I said, and I expect that one will be on, it should be in our name next year, the Buckfield one.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, just get back to the Twinfields Community Association. Mm. What, just doesn't matter?
Well, since it's not exempt on the roll right now, we would be sending a bill to them if I didn't include them on this list.
Yeah, okay.
So,
just leave there.
Yeah, for now, or until it's dissolved and extinguished from the list, then, yeah.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Any other councilors?
I just have
nothing.
Just bringing up questions, I know. That's what we're here for, right? Under District 3, and you just indicated that any region of Queens property is exempt from their tax, from their assessment rule. But
except
I
for
the
water utility?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why is that there?
I have no idea.
Oh.
I assume it's because it's not, the water utility is separate and apart from the region
of
Queensbury.
Classification may be different?
Utility and Review Board
oh, okay.
Authority. So I assume that that's why it's not, it is in our name, it is the region, but it's Region of Queens Utility, not Region of Queens Municipality. And so, yeah, there is a value on the roll for it, which we then exempt, of course.
Any other questions of councilors? Are you ready for the question? All in favor of the motion? Unanimous, thank you. We'll move on to 11-2, temporary borrowing resolution, capital project, school and Main Streets. Deputy Mayor McLeod, would you like to take the lead?
Yes, I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approves temporary borrowing resolution file number 2017-01 in the amount of $180,000 for Main Street and file number 2017-02 in the amount of $350,000 for School Street. Copies attached.
Second. Would you like to brief us on that one, Jen?
So a lot of our sewer water remediation projects we had been funding with the gas tax for a number of years. Because the CWWF fund has a federal portion to it, the 50% is a federal portion, you're not allowed to stack various federal contributions, and our gas tax money is considered federal. So therefore, you have temporary borrowing resolutions in front of you today. The borrowing resolutions sometimes take a bit of time to be processed through for ministerial approval. So I brought them forward today since we were discussing our pre-budget approval for the projects anyway, and they're in place and eligible for 1 year, and they're fully renewable at the end of each of those years. So this is just an easier way to have those in place should we need them. We're not allowed to borrow the money until the projects are complete. I'm not sure which, but likely one or the other, Main or School, will be complete roughly around the spring or at least by the fall next year, where these borrowing resolutions would then be in play and we could proceed to the debenture. The debenture for sewer projects is not tax rate affected, in case any of you were wondering. We did have a large borrowing that was paid off last year, so we do have some space there, but our reserve, our sewer expenses are fully user paid, user fees covered. So the various revenue streams and the various expenses for sewer, which would include the repayment of this debenture and the interest and principal on those, will be fully compensated by the sewer reserve fund, and therefore it doesn't affect the general tax rate.
Councilors, any questions? Councilor Kelly?
Again, just really trying to understand all of this. What is the difference between long-term borrowing and temporary borrowing?
This is a temporary borrowing resolution. The resolution itself is the temporary piece. The long-term borrowing is long-term borrowing. We have to have a resolution approved by the minister in order to borrow.
Right.
This is a borrowing resolution which is temporarily in place. So the approval of this resolution is temporary. It expires in a year.
Okay.
But the long-term borrowing is what this resolution approves.
Do you need to get a temporary borrowing resolution every year for the long-term borrowing?
Only if we are borrowing within that year. Once the debenture is in place, you no longer require the resolution.
Right. So are there permanent, is, because they call it temporary, I'm just curious, is there such a thing as a
permanent
borrowing
resolution? No, the resolutions themselves
are
temporary in nature because they expire in a year.
Okay.
But they are fully authorizing the long-term borrowings for which they're noted to, for.
I understand that. That's great. Thank you very much.
Any other councilors? Are you ready for the question?
Yes, sir.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. Thank you. We will move on to 12.0. Under 12.1, we have a Queens Place Mirror Center Advisory Committee minutes for information purposes. Any comments from councilors? 12.1. Hearing none, I will move on to the next item. 12.2 unsolicited proposal courthouse has been deferred to the committee of the whole meeting. 12.3, South Shore Minor Hockey, request for assistance recommendation. I would ask our physical activity coordinator, Diana Johnson, if you would come up, and also Megan Roberts.
I so recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve a tournament assistance grant of $500 to the South Shore Minor Hockey Association for the Gary L. Witzel March Break Tournament, March 15th to the 19th, 2017, to be funded from the Community Grants Program, a budget line of the Recreation and Community Facilities Department.
Seconder, Councillor Frelick. Diana, would you like to brief us on this item?
I can. Pretty new to me, but so I can't really brief you.
I'm happy to do this. So actually, we've received this request, which complies with our tournament assistance program for funding. And the reason Diana wasn't ready is that's typically something that the recreation director would handle. The recreation assistant received it, reviewed it with me, and asked her to provide the report to council. So this is a this is an event that qualifies for that program. So as such, we put it forward for your consideration.
Councillor Kelly?
Do we already have the bookings at Queen's Place and confirm the $4,900 in revenue from those bookings?
Do we already have them included?
Yeah, this is based on them saying that they're, like I said, this is a South Shore hockey thing, and usually this tournament is completely held in Bridgewater at LCLC.
Yep.
This is the first time it's coming to Queen's Place, but they're saying they're asking for the $500 from here because they are hosting at Queen's Place, and it says they're going to book ice for $4,900, but they haven't already booked that ice.
Yes, no, they, yes, they have.
They have booked the ice?
Yes.
Okay.
Councillor Fancy?
I know it's a bad thing to bring up at this particular time, but I'd just like to discuss it. Is that, you know, we give the money up because there's needs, because and these are great events to bring in, but the only thing I don't like is when it says, it's fundraising for a South Shore Minor Hockey Association. So are we giving the money for the fundraising, and is that what we should be doing or not? I don't know.
CAO?
So this is one of the areas where, through a policy review, particularly with the grants, I think we can do a little bit more looking. But in terms of currently this request complies with and is consistent with past expenditures. You know, obviously they bring in money to run the tournament, and you know, that ultimately goes to the development of South Shore Minor Hockey.
Well, I think it's a good thing. I just don't know this doesn't sound right.
Councillor Kelly?
Would there be a stipulation on this, like if it didn't come to fruition that there were games booked at Queen's Place and they were using Queen's Place, the $500 would not be given?
Correct.
Right,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other councillors? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. Thank you, Diane.
I'll just stay for the next portion.
12.4, drive update for information. If you'd like to put some information up.
Megan's going to join me as well.
Okay. Thank you, Megan.
No problem. Okay, so Thrive is a grant that comes through the Nova Scotia Department of Communities, Culture, and Heritage. And as you see in our report, the funding is
aimed at increasing facility access to everybody. We've applied for these last 3 years. This year, we just kind of looked at it a little bit more because we felt there was some work that needed to be done to make it as effective as it could be to actually increasing people coming in and using not only our facility, but also other rec facilities in the region of Queens. So from that, Diana and I put together kind of what we were going to do. So it was based at Queens Place. We have pickleball going on in Port Matoon as well as in North Queens. And we also have in Greenfield, we're doing a fitness class pound, and it's all free. In addition to all the other things you see on the poster that should be in your package there. And it's been going tremendously, especially our free skates. We've been having upwards of 50 people at each one. Our pound classes, there's been anywhere from 15 to 18 people off and on in Greenfield. At Queen's Place, the same thing. And in you can speak on the pickleball.
Pickleball's been great in Port Matoon. We've had great success, averaging about, we started off with about 25 people the first day, and now we average about 15, usually Tuesday mornings. I don't know if they canceled this morning or not. Yeah. It's been a bit of a challenge in North Queens, just because weather has impacted each and every time I've tried to get pickleball going up there. So I might defer that till March and still try to throw it into the Thrive program, mm-hmm. just because I'm busy and I can't get up there in the next little while. But great program, and seems to be drawing people out, which is the objective of the MPAL anyway through Thrive, is to get people engaged again, and it really seems like it's doing its job both here and at the outlying community, so it's great.
Councillor Kelly?
So can this Thrive program, and yeah, it's wonderful. I mean, all of these, I was a bit relieved when the workout pound class was canceled. I was a bit scared, but now I have more time to think about it, right? I'm thinking I might enjoy it when it finally comes around again for us to do that.
It's tomorrow, isn't it? I think, or
Thursday.
Yeah.
And, but what I would like to ask about is the Thrive program. So can we actually count on the same thing happening next year? Are we eligible to keep applying for Thrive?
So, yes, we are eligible. It all depends, obviously, on the funding being continued year through year. So their year end is the end of March as well. So then new money comes out at that time. And at that time, we have to submit a report based on what we did and the results of it. And then we can apply again. And there's different aspects to the Thrive as well. There's also, we applied for it last summer at the pools and did free public swims. They're not 100% sure at this time that is going to continue for this year. So Debbie Smith's waiting on approval for everything. And then if that is, we'll apply for the summer for the pools again.
Yeah.
And then this for fall.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Deputy Member Clark.
Is the Thrive money only available to municipalities, or is it available to organizations that, like say Brooklyn Marina, that put on their sailing programs?
I would have to look into that. I know for the most part it's the municipalities and rec departments that apply for the funding. I'm not sure if the actual stipulation is on municipalities, but I will certainly look into that.
It's a facilities grant, so
yeah.
I think it's the municipal facilities or something along that nature.
But they have all the other aspects of their grant, so maybe it's that there's a different one that would be more for that, but I will certainly look into it.
Councillor Pist?
This Thrive program, is it actually initiated through the rec department, or is it initiated through the Queen's Place and Mayor Center?
So we've kind of applied for it together. Norm had sat on the committee when he was here for our region, and then we applied for them together because initially everything that took place happened at Queen's Place, so it kind of was a coordinated effort on that. As long as it comes through the municipality and it's targeted at the recreation centers.
Can I ask the dollar figure? Is there a dollar figure involved here?
Yep, so this year it was $6,000 in total. Yep. And that's what we've gotten the previous 3 years as well. And they do give a little bit of guidance as well through Debbie Smith on what they would like to see. In the past, they Well, she kind of, we would submit what we wanted to, it to be for, and she would kind of help us rearrange it based on there was feedback, because a lot of the gift certificates we'd given out in the past, they're given out through the Resource Center. And they, yeah, so.
Just one more question. Mm-hmm. $6,000, what would that be used for?
In terms of
Where's it go? Where's the initial money cost?
Oh, so the cost, so where is it deposited? Is that the
yeah. instructors and things like that?
Could it spend it?
Yeah, it's the
right, so the rec
for
center.
Programs and, go ahead.
Yeah, so the rec center, so we pay a rental rate for our outlying community of stuff that we do. Part of it is for the instructors who are doing it. Ice time for Queen's Place, where, you know, if it's the public skate. So it's kind of whatever the program is, it's, you know, either the instructor, rentals, or other.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Councilor Frewitt?
Great program. Yes, it's really it's nice to see people getting out. As you know, we're trying to do that. A couple questions for you. Are there programs that you would like to do that aren't covered under the thrive, or are there any, or is it kind of all, anything you can kind of think of?
There's a pretty broad spectrum on what you want to offer. It's how you're going to offer it. So
right.
Me engaging a facility like West Green's Rec, we're using that hall. We're using Queen's Place as the
right.
facility for, so it's a facility access grant.
Okay.
So it does depend on kind of what facilities you're using in order to engage different parts of the community. Looking at that, if
you
want.
So you can't have a beach party or something like that.
I don't think so.
No, yeah, it has to be a specific facility,
yeah.
But we're the only ones that Debbie knew of that were actually using our outlying rec centers, so
right.
the Greenfield Rec Center or West Queens or, you know, wherever it should be. So that's what they really liked about ours, is that we rethought the whole thing and, you know, because everywhere's struggling, and not that this is made to help, you know, increase the money that they're getting, but it is, because it's bringing more people into their facility, and hopefully these things will continue after, you know, the
that
grant.
That was the second part of my question, like
yeah.
what happens to pickleball in North Queens once this Thrive money is used up? Is that something they will have to continue,
right.
or
is
something that...
The objective is for them to then carry the program on, same as the group does here in Liverpool,
right.
and the hope is the same for North Queens. We did purchase a pickleball set through Thrive,
okay.
and then we have two other sets we purchased, and we will continue to let them use them, but I think West Green's Rec is looking at purchasing a couple sets, and hopefully, if the program runs in North Queens, it'll be at the school, so they have some pickleball
right.
supplies themselves, so it is an easy program, especially in North Queens, to run for free, given
yeah.
you can do it in the school. West Queens would probably have to charge a minimal $2 fee.
Right. That's great, because I think in the past there's been years that we've had to give Thrive money back. So it's great
sure.
to see the uptake on this. So
mm-hmm.
you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
Councilor Francis?
Yes. Talking to just some different people and things, I see some things that were very successful. Like, I have no idea what this pound thing is, but I've heard that
come
heard
to the
that
demo on Thursday.
It's full all the time, and you got wait list,
mm-hmm.
which is that means it's very just being successful. So is that something you plan to continue on and now put a fee to it, or where do you go with things that have been successful with you?
Well, the whole point of offering them for free was also to kind of look at what we were offering so that people were trying new things.
Yeah.
So the hope is to continue those things. We would have to put a fee on it, because, you know, we still do have to, especially for Pound, the instructor. And Joanne from Queen's Place has been the one doing it in Greenfield. And then we share the other classes that happen there. But so, yeah, there would have to be, you know, a fee put on it afterwards. But they fully understand that.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've had, well, Greenfield for Pound, they will have had 12 weeks for free, so.
Brings up another point. Is there any Thrive money left, or has it all been allocated? So,
yes, it has all been allocated. We will look where we were kind of the North Queens pickleball was kind of a little bit later starting, just because they weren't sure what they wanted, and then when they finally decided, So we will have to look at if there is any money left. If it was left, we were allocating it towards more one-month memberships to the fitness center.
Okay.
Because Tracy at the resource center, who gives them out for us, they're very popular. Yeah. And then the schools are doing our youth ones, so they're giving them out in the schools.
Sorry, I don't know what that is. One-month membership?
One-month memberships to Queen's Place. So that was the other aspect of it that isn't on the poster specifically. We had 12 one-month adult and junior memberships that were given out, the adult ones at the resource center. So she gives them out to the families that come in, the parents that come into the resource center specifically to use their programs.
Okay.
And then through the schools, work to rules kind of hampering at the moment, but they are going to deliver those to the kids who are in need, wouldn't otherwise be able to come, but that they know would use them. So they won't be given out just randomly, they will be given targeted and privately. It won't, yeah.
Councilor Piss?
Just a quick question. Are all the centers, the rec centers involved in this, are very well aware of how the money is distributed and how it's worked?
I don't think so, probably not.
Really?
West Queens Rec is really the only facility that we're paying for. And
we're paying for Greenfield
as well,
yeah.
But it's $15 an hour, I think,
mm-hmm.
there. And the school in North Queens would be free at the moment, as long as we're not charging for the program. And I'm not sure if that changes in a community school or not, but.
So for pickleball, for example, in West Queens, we're paying the rental for the hall, and then we bought the pickleball set that's being used there, so there's no other money being allocated anywhere for that. So it is free to them, but that's what the money for that part of the program was used for. In Greenfield, it was the instructor fee, and then we also pay the rental as well there. So. They know about the rental, obviously, but
Do they understand Thrive?
I don't think so.
Linda knows what Linda Freeman, who I've been working with in Greenfield. I know she's aware of what the program is. When we set it up, you know, it was that they were getting the rental because that's what we're doing there, right? So anybody that would go and use Greenfield Rec Center would pay the $15 an hour for that rental.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just so you know, they have about almost a 200 membership.
Yes.
Facility.
Mm-hmm.
200. Okay, thank you.
Deputy Mayor McLeod?
A couple things. Certificates that you give out for a free month for the fitness center.
Mm-hmm.
So you can determine whether they're used or not, right? So you're giving them to the folks that would really use them rather than just.
Correct. So we're not in charge of that part of it. So our agreement with Debbie Smith when we get the money is that they're given out through the Resource Center, which is the same as it is all across Nova Scotia. It's always in partnership because usually the families in need, you know, they're going to the Resource Center, not exclusively, but, you know, they do know the families that are in need. There's also the food bank that is there, so they identify and kind of approach people, you know, we have this, would you like it? For the most part, they do get used. We've scaled back the number for now, just because in past years, you know, they weren't all used. And that's kind of the problem with it. You can't guarantee that people are going to use them. So they've tried to identify the best they can who's going to use them, and the schools will do the same thing.
And another question or comment about, you said it was money was used for recreation facilities like, you know, Greenfield and Port Mattoon and here. So Brooklyn has a recreation committee, which we all know, they have the building, but they have the playgrounds and they also have the ball field in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if that might look into that, might qualify maybe to have some ball activity or something on the park in the summertime, you know, when kids are out of school, might be something that would generate some interest down there.
Could be.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we'll talk about that later.
For sure.
Any other councillors? Thank you, Megan and Diana.
No problem.
I was wondering, Heather Cook, if you'd like to come forward. We need to draw some names. We're on 12.5, selection of two representative volunteers.
So excited.
American draw, if you'd like.
Okay.
Yeah.
You
I'll draw the names, Mayor. Sure, just speak to it, let them know what they're doing.
Okay, so each year, council selects two volunteers from our community to go to the Provincial Volunteer Awards Ceremony in Halifax, where they're presented with a once-in-a-lifetime award for their wonderful volunteer work that they do. In the last year and a half, the Region of Queens has started a program called the Ripple Effect Volunteer Recognition Program. And the community has been encouraged to submit names of volunteers in the throughout Queens who they feel make significant contributions to our community. You know, whether it's a small act or a long period of service doing wonderful things. All volunteers do great things and make Queens vibrant and such a great place to live in. So we've had a number over the past year submitted. You have the outline and biographies of each one. Thank you. in your package. And as I mentioned, they will be going to Halifax for the Provincial Volunteer Award Ceremony. And I don't think I will read them or...
No, you can read the motion.
Okay, so I'll turn it over.
So moved that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality nominate the following: Heather Kelly of Liverpool and Mark Allison of Hunts Point as the Region of Queens 2017 Volunteers of the Year, and that they will represent the Region of Queens Municipality at the Provincial Volunteer Award Ceremony to be recognized with an award for their commitment to volunteerism.
Seconder?
No.
Questions of councillors? Ready for the, yes, Councillor Kelly?
I just wanted to say that the you know, we had a good group of people that were nominated. The Ripple Effect has been a great way to for people to be recognized, and I know that those Ripple Effects, when they're posted, they get shared many, many times, and thousands of people see that. So we shall be very proud of that, because in previous years we've had three, four nominations, and we know there's hundreds and hundreds of volunteers in the community, so this is great, and two really good candidates. Mark is, that's Wanda's son, and we're very proud of him, so it's great. I just had another question about the Ripple Effect itself, and how we are going to celebrate volunteers this year. Has there been any thought of what we're going to do?
As last year, during Volunteer Week, which is April, I believe it's in the paper, I'm not sure. In April, we'll have a volunteer reception for the nominees and council.
Any other councillors?
I had the pleasure of attending the award ceremony in Halifax last year. Very well done affairs. And two volunteers that we had felt really, really special that day.
It's a great event.
Any other councillors? Are you ready for the question?
Ready.
All those in favor of the motion? Unanimous?
Thank you.
We will move on to 13.0 planning. 13.1, Caledonia Corner recommendation.
Let the staff of the Region of Queens Municipality be directed to investigate alternate zoning solutions for the corner area of Caledonia with the intent to encouraging to support new economic growth in the district, within this district, and to report back to council at the subsequent meeting on potential amendment opportunities available with the recommendation, which is the capability with accepted to intent the process necessary to effect said changes.
Seconder? Councilor Fancy. Mike McLeod, would you like to read this on this?
Sure, I don't with you. You want me to? Sure. Let me know you want.
You go.
Yeah, I guess the zoning prior to 2009, with the implementation of the region's region-wide municipal planning strategy and land use bylaw, there was no zoning in the Caledonia area. So with the regional planning strategy and bylaw, the core downtown area of Caledonia. It was decided at that time to zone as general residential R2. There are a number of commercial businesses that reside within that district, but it was a feeling of the Area Advisory Committee who helped develop the plan and the council's recommendation that instead of a commercial designation for that core area, a residential designation was applied. So I guess what this in effect does with the residential designation, existing commercial businesses that are located within that core area are identified as existing non-conforming uses within that zone and essentially allowed to continue to exist under that non-conforming designation. However, under provincial legislation, non-conforming uses, once that non-conforming use ceases to exist for a period of 6 months, that non-conforming designation is eliminated, and any new use that goes in a particular property has to conform with the residential designation or residential uses. So we've had a couple of inquiries since 2009 respecting the non-conforming uses within that area. We did one rezoning a couple of years ago, which would be for the Hollow Log restaurant, where they rezoned from a residential designation to a commercial designation to allow for that use. Now we've had another property owner that has the old credit union building. The building's been vacant for a while now, and the non-conforming designation has expired. So right now, under existing zoning, only a residential use could win that property. So I know the mayor has had discussions with the property owner who has some ideas for commercial business at that location. So I guess we haven't initiated anything as far as zoning change for that area. And it was something that I had earmarked as a discussion as we go into a formal review of our municipal planning strategy and land use bylaw, was to actually look at that area and potentially changing that area, the designation of that area from a residential to a commercial designation. So the property owner in question has not made application to rezone the property, and so I guess it's been brought forward that for council's consideration whether they want to initiate the process early as a standalone rezoning of that area, or it would be addressed certainly during the MPS or LUB review. So essentially that's the item before you.
Thank you, Mike. Councilor Kelly?
As you said, yes, there's a review through the MPS and LUB and on the municipal, or sorry, on the Planning Advisory Committee, in which I'm chair of, and I don't understand why it didn't go to PAC first for an in-depth discussion with a recommendation to council.
I guess the mayor, you want to comment?
It will end up in PAC at some point through this process for recommendation as well, according to the motion. There will be a report come back to council.
Okay, just not understanding then, like, why didn't you just come to PAC? Why does it have to come here first and then go to PAC? I don't think we've ever done that before.
CAO?
So all work would initiate from council before going to the advisory committee. That wouldn't be something that the advisory committee, so this is new work. We haven't scoped yet our MPS review. That's something that I would anticipate we'll be scoping and working with the planning advisory committee, over the next 3 to 6 months to discuss our MPS review. We've had this request come forward from an individual, also from other members on the North Queens Board of Trade. It's been a bit of a community issue. So it was suggested, okay, bring this forward. We can ask council to consider initiating this work. PAC would be part of this process to discuss this, and any changes would go through the planning advisory committee. So this report simply initiates that project, or this review, I shouldn't call it a review, this examination of that policy without waiting for the full-scale review, which, you know, I would imagine that before the end of that project would be over, be another year or so.
And is that just because what came forth from the public was to look at that, but not one property rezoning, but a whole area rezoning, and that's why we
need
to
through the Board of Trade,
here?
It's been discussed more than just the one owner.
Okay, sure. Right.
Yeah, and I guess just further to that, I guess as an application, if the property owner had applied, that would have gone
right
to PAC. But this is, I guess, requesting direction from council. It'd be internally generated process, so as opposed to a formal application from
the
public.
And so just so I understand, this is something that will be updated ahead of the review.
If that's a will of council to proceed, that's right.
Sure.
I think this is a proactive approach as well, because you know there are a lot of areas that we see that have changed over time and activities and whatnot, and of course the core of, and this is an individual circumstance of in Caledonia, because there are a lot of non-conforming uses in that
That's
core
correct.
Section. So it only seems right to be able to do it this way. So but we do incur the expenses of doing that as well, advertising and all that.
If it's a council directive, I guess those costs are, they need to be incurred, whether it's somebody applying or
sure.
council, it's advertising costs and stuff.
So if you do it in a mass area, then you're saving on the cost, because down the road, individuals or someone else could have come and said they wanted to change commercial. So we're actually,
that's correct.
Could be saving a little bit, but there is an outlay of some expenses.
No, absolutely.
But it's a good way, it's money well spent, in my opinion. Yeah.
Councilor
Fancy?
As we said here before, the two or three part question here is that if you're going to make the application to put it into, take it from residential to commercial, if it isn't used within 6 months, it goes back to residential again, right? I mean, if it's not being used, you will lose that status.
No, I guess if we rezone the area to a commercial designation, it would allow for the broad range of commercial uses, and I guess I haven't had time to actually scope out what the amendments would be, but more than likely we would recognize the existing residential uses within that district and specify the properties as permitted uses within that zone, and therefore they don't have that non-conforming status. If a house becomes vacant for more than 6 months, for instance, that they don't have to operate a commercial business within that, if we formally recognize those residential uses. So I'd have to, I guess, flush out the details, but we can work around that stuff.
Councilor
Fancy,
I think.
So can things be zoned as mixed? Like a mixed residential, mixed such and such. Again, is that a zoning or is that not a zoning way of doing it? I'm just asking because I don't know.
Well, I guess under existing zoning, there are like residential uses permitted on floors above commercial uses and that sort of thing. But if we found through our process that the existing zoning didn't really fit what we're trying to do for that area, I guess there's an option, we create a new zone, which allows for a broader variety, but that stuff will have to be all worked out as we go through the process.
Any other councillors? Ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? Unanimous, thank you.